This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
9-3-0-2-8.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
That would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoiled hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Blessing and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show right now. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Newcaliforniastate.com, the state of the future. The state of the future. So anyway, welcome aboard. Like I said, you can email me, paul at a21r.com. And, of course, the call-in line is 215-867-8255. 215-867-8255. We got a lot going on here. We're going to be covering the economy, first and foremost, this hour with Chris Street. He's going to be joining us. We're also going to be talking about, well, Mueller, and more Mueller. We're also going to be talking about the Oroville Dam and all the things going on there. And have you been californicated lately? We'll be talking about that. It's kind of a continual theme that goes on here at Agenda21Radio, isn't it? Anyway, so with us right now is Chris Street. And, of course, Chris Street writes for American Thinker and is also with the New California State Movement. And we've been following a whole wide range of events that have been going on in the economy, especially in California. But there's also some indicators about what the general economy is all about. And I wanted to have Chris on about that because this is something that might affect, it's going to affect the whole nation. Chris, welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, always fun to be here, Paul.
Okay, so we're looking at different things that we're seeing about curves and bonds and things like that. What is that all about?
Well, Paul, I think that you've seen, as I predicted, that Trump would take his lumps in the third year yep. of his four-year term. And he's pretty much taken on everybody from China trade war to, you know, German car imports to Mexico and Canada. You and Japan, you pick the battle that Trump wanted to fight trying to protect American jobs. And he's pretty much gone to the wall in the third year of his election. Like anyone who's in battle, you can't always be at the top. And growth in the United States has slowed, although it's a tricky game because of the way that profits and GDP growth is reported tends to be skewed towards corporate success, not individual success.
So you know this is again, I want to say and congratulations to you. You predicted this would be happening, and now it is happening. Months ago, you were talking about this, that Trump would be taking his lumps, and now he's taking his lumps. There's a lot of other things, economically speaking. I guess the question is, what is the recovery rate at this point in time? What's it look like 6, 7, 8 months from now?
Well, Paul, it's, you know, the economy is slowed to 3%. Oh, how terrible. You mean double?
Slowed, right.
What Barack Obama had.
Right.
So I think that you're just talking more of a slowdown. I was not sure whether you'd actually get a recession, which is 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. What I was sure of is that you would continue to have high employment and high hiring demand. And that's, you know, the biggest problem for business right now is they're being constrained because they're having to, God forbid, pay higher wages. I mean, economics actually really works. I mean, workers benefit when the economy booms. You mean tax cuts, you know, increase the size of the pie. You know, one of the problems of tax cuts increasing the size of the supply, it increases the amount of competition.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest competition, of course, is when you've got good times, is for quality workers. And those quality workers are being bid up. First, of course, it was the people who have, you know, unique computer skills, but the economy's really moved on from that. And now it's generally skilled workers, especially, you know, with experience in factory and vocational school skills that are very, very hard to find. Of course, that's also what America was built on, you know, $26 an hour jobs with the chance of overtime.
Right, right. So the biggest play, though, is going to be what sector you would, if you're moving your investments around, where would you go to?
Well, Paul, I'm a believer that you're moving, that the you're reading a new chapter in America. You know, the chapter that you've just gone through since really 1990 has been a chapter of, you know, that people were expendable through machines and outsourcing. And of course, the computer systems dominated that play. So you sort of had a the all-time, you know, great life if you were in Silicon Valley, not so great life if you were in Cleveland. So my belief is we are flipping the script that the highest employment demand, that the best employment wage growth is now in that old what was called Rust Belt. So basic industries, I believe, are, you know, the new thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting about this Rust Belt. It seems to be sort of shining itself up now and will continue to
shine. Belt.
Yeah. And I was listening to the president, and he was getting on Marine One this morning, and he was talking about the economy and how good the economy is and how, you know, jobs are coming back to this country. Now, for those of you, ladies and gentlemen, that listen to Agenda 21 Radio, you can probably remember several years ago, Chris predicting this moment right now and talking about how jobs will be returning to the United States, and with basically we would be with open arms and be receiving all these companies coming back to the United States. And, of course, that's why our unemployment is down and, of course, the GDP is up. It's going to continue to rise, I suspect. But your comments on where we stand with all that right now?
Well, I think, Paul, that we won, they lost. I mean, very, very clearly, if you're China, You know, every, it seems everything that you threaten, you mean you'll stop sending us all your junk? You mean you'll stop being part of our supply chain? You know, people who make junk and supply chain, those are, you know, jobs and factories and capabilities that can be transferred rather easily to a lower cost platform, you know, whether that's Vietnam, whether that's Pakistan or somewhere else. But more importantly, when you threaten us, we retaliate. And that's really been China's mistake. China thought that they were the dog and we were the tail. I think they are getting a rude awakening that he who has an export surplus has the greater amount of risk than he who has an import deficit.
Well, again, China is sort of the main player. What about other countries out there that have had to adjust to losing jobs that we sent to them earlier in, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that they're starting to lose jobs back to us again?
Well, the interesting thing is, if you've ever traveled to Mexico or down to Brazil, you know, Brazil, they call the, you know, next has been the next big thing for the last 50 years.
So hang on, Chris, we got the music coming up. We come back. More Chris Street. We're going to be talking about all those jobs that went away, but now they're coming back here on Agenda 21 Radio, and also about Gavin Newsom, some decisions that, he's supporting. We'll be right back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
I'm a prospector. I found a big old river rock. I'm sure it's a gold nugget. Where do I go to cash it in?
Whatever precious metals you're digging up, we'll barrel it over to Yuba City Coin and Bullion by the 10th Street Bridge. Always paying top dollar on placer gold, pickers or bigger, any hoard of gold coins and silver ingots, shiny or not.
Eureka! They're paying more than all the teeth in my mouth!
Your local coin shop buys those too. Gold crowns and bridges. Also, scrap jewelry and sterling silverware. We melt it down, turning it into shiny gold and silver ingots that you can invest in.
Well, I'll be! Strike it rich in the Twin Cities!
Yuba City, Coin and Bullion. 438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. 755 Coin.
Now where'd my donkey wander off to?
We have to enforce
our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Of course, newcaliforniastate.com. You can email me, Paul, at a21r.com. Also, I get, we should be having a Sunday Slam this Sunday, by the way. I'm going to give a shout out to all those people back east who love the Sunday Slam. Starts at 1 o'clock Pacific. That's 4 o'clock your time. Anyway, we also want to do a shout out to Red State Talk Radio. Yep, the talk monster, the digital talk monster. Lots of things going on with Red State Talk Radio. And, of course, Epoch Times, the Epoch Times, who helps to, they assist us greatly on our radio show and also Red State Talk Radio. With us right now is Chris Street giving us the financial update. Chris, just before the break, we were talking about, you know, all these other countries besides China that are experiencing, I guess, that giant sucking sound of jobs leaving their country, coming back to the United States, and you brought up Brazil.
Well, that's right. Brazil, if you'd gone down there, I'd say in 1970, everyone would tell you this is the new, you know, tiger of the future. You know, Brazil, it's a huge country. It has incredible resources. You know, the people are, you know, very productive. But once again, like any other emerging nation, they have this thing called government, Paul, and somehow they managed to get these communist, they call themselves socialists, but they're basically Marxist governments that all of a sudden think they can flip economics on its head, and the country in the late 1970s crashed. It came back in the 80s, late 80s, and then crashed again in the 90s. So, you know, it was back again, crashed in 2005, and, you know, Brazil keeps holding on.
Right.
But the one difference of countries was China, because China was unique in that, you know, they quote, are a Marxist country, but it's really a dynasty of the Communist Party.
Right.
So the Communist Party will do anything that it possibly can to make sure that they get their agenda serviced, and that had to do with getting people to put all of their savings in Chinese banks so they could be massively leveraged. So when you go to China and you see all these incredible buildings, they're what's the right way to say? They bought them with a credit card, and the problem is someday people are going to retire and actually want to spend their savings. You know, it's the escalator on the way up, and it's the express elevator on the way down.
Mm. You know, it's kind of interesting. We talk about South America. I don't think people really understand the influence of the communist and the National Socialist even, down in that area. The influence is enormous, isn't it? In all those
countries.
Well,
that's right, Paul. And remember that the Catholic Church was, you know, infected with the liberation theology. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That liberation theology said that you could be a homosexual priest, you know, that you had personal freedoms. You know, it's the, you know, growth of postmodernism and deconstructionism, where everything that people believe, you know, it's just a bunch of words, and it's interpreted according to your, you know, regional or sociological foundation. There aren't any truths. And, you know, the one great part of Marxism is it says that it's historical. By that, you can absolutely be sure that no matter what governments do, no matter what economics does, you'll end up in a Marxist state. So this gives the Marxists the ability, you know, to have people moving in the same direction without truth. And what I mean truth, there is no, you know, moral or ethical historical foundation in Marxism. It's just I get mine. And eventually, of course, the philosophy of I get mine means everybody gets none.
Right, right.
Because after a while, you run out of other people's money.
Yeah, yeah, which is what we're experiencing right now.
And when you see this terrible blight that was, you know, foisted upon South America, mostly through the church. The biggest players in this were, you know, the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, of course, is a very historic organization. And, you know, you can't blame some bad apples for, you know, a really large organization. But this was a competitor to the church, led to a lot of Maoist revolutions across South America. Of course, the rise in Cuba of Castro, and you've seen what's happened in Venezuela. So, you know, Venezuela was the richest country in the world at one time per capita. You know, what's it now? They have trouble, you know, getting beans for dinner.
Right. Having dinner at all, or even a consideration for dinner every night, is a big struggle for them. Argentina. Also, the home of Juan Perón.
That's right. Argentina is beyond a doubt, has the most beautiful people, the most beautiful buildings, the most modern computers, and nothing works because it is so corrupt. Juan Perón, basically, his people would go. This is he was a president of Argentina during World War II. And his game was that he would basically go and find some industrialists and say, you need to pay a $10,000 bag of cash to Juan Perón. And, you know, the industrialists, if he paid the bag of cash, they immediately arrested him and confiscated all of the industrialists' property and industry and everything else because he had tried to bribe the president of the country. Now, if you didn't pay the bribe, they didn't come back. So, you know, you sort of train, you institutionally trained a nation that everything is run off bribery. And pretty soon, of course, like all forms of socialism, whether it's socialism on the right or socialism on the left, it's all at the end of the day, you run out of other people's money. And that's what happens to Argentina regularly.
Yeah, they just and of course it's a cyclical thing with them. The rise of this is Argentina is the home of course Pope Francis,
and yes,
that's kind of a problematic thing for a lot of people because a lot of people understand him.
Of respect for the Catholic Church. I have the greatest amount of respect for, you know, Catholics, the family orientation, the incredible things they've done, but they get some strange interpretations from the Argentine Pope.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty bizarre thing. But you also mentioned the Maoists, and that takes me down to Peru.
Peru, Shining Path.
Shining Path, right.
Well, yeah. You know, Paul, I watch all of these, you know, trends and from a military standpoint. My background, of course, is national security, and I watch these trends, and I watch how these things play out, and you know, the idea that guerrillas, you can somehow stop a guerrilla movement simply by making a concerted, you know, national focus is just poppycock. You know, guerrillas, it takes about 70 soldiers to isolate and knock down one guerrilla. So if you have 1,000 guerrillas, you know, you're talking about a really big army has to go after them. If you have 10,000 guerrillas, that's a spectacular large army. So you can raise a lot of hell as a guerrilla, and Maoists are excellent in training people. We're excellent in training people on how to be the highest amount of friction to crash the economy in the interest of course, a Marxist state that would arise historically after the crash. What usually happens is the economy crashes, everybody starves, mm-hmm. and the Marxist state, you know, may or may not show up. But the only way it shows up is in the form of a government that's repressive.
Which brings us to California. And I guess
there's
the question,
a repressive government.
Yeah, we got a break coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk about, are we seeing Shining Path in California? I hate it when this happens. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio, and we're talking to Chris Street about a number of different things. We've been talking about the general economy and Donald Trump taking his lumps right now in the third year of his presidency, just gearing up for the election, and it's been a very interesting discussion. We're also talking about South America because, you know, that giant sucking sound, we're hearing all the jobs coming back to the United States. They're listening to that giant sucking sound. We got into the discussion about communism and socialism and totalitarianism a little bit about what's going on in South America, and we discussed the shining path. And of course, I'm coming to California now because, you know, we know that we have certain elements of the shining path in Southern California at Chapman University, which is kind of interesting. Peter McLaren, Dr. Peter McLaren, a known Maoist slash Marxist agitator, if you will, from Argentina, which is kind of weird. He's there and he's handling a whole bunch of things. And now they have a lot of trouble in and around the community there of Orange and other places. But it's not only him, it's other places as well, scattered throughout. There are cells of Maoists that we know about. They're very obvious about their what they're doing. So, Chris, I guess the question is, what are those folks doing in Southern California?
The Southern California, of course, you know, people do not understand that when you look at the United States, there's really two games. There's the United States and there's the globalists. Now, the globalists are just killing it in New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and San Francisco, Seattle. But the rest of the country, not so much. So if you look at Southern California, the incredible amount of trade coming from China, you know, this incredible media structure that is making big bucks in China overwhelms most of what people see as the economy of the United States. It's just a once-in-a-lifetime boom that's been a lot of fun. The problem with it is it's starting to slow, Paul. And, you know, things that slow eventually can stop.
Right. You know, it's kind of interesting to see how all these things are playing out right now, especially in light of the new California state movement, which, is, of course, is having enormous impact on things and going to continue to have as we go forward here in the next 6 months to a year. Especially that's kind of a critical time for us going forward. But when you talk about these characters that are out there, it's kind of odd to think of them in your own backyard, so to speak. Oh, my gosh, they're here, but they actually are here. And the devastation economically, which is really what they're trying to chew into right now, which is what Chris was talking about, has to play out on a bigger scale, and that's where you get into the state politics of things. I'm looking at an article by Katie Grimes that just came out today, or the other day. I don't have the date on it. Says a bill to repeal California tax credits, a backdoor tax increase. And Stephen Frank, in his article, he comes up with the title, "This is Serious, SB 468. Democrats propose $65 billion tax increase." Because California is running out of other people's money.
Well, I've said this, Paul, that you're in a situation now where, you know, as soon as the capital gains die, and they haven't died yet, you know, the April tax collections show that a huge boom in tax collections, almost $500 million higher on corporate taxes than last year, and on personal income taxes, a rise of, I believe, about $1 billion. You know, California actually has been so fortunate on these big IPOs and big globalism in 2018 that the economy still looks pretty good. Underneath these tax collections, because, of course, they come after 2019, after the start of the year, you know, you're starting to see a tremendous amount of deterioration. And that deterioration in California is all about Silicon Valley. If you don't have Uber and Lyft IPOs that, you know, come out and people make big money in capital gains, but then the stocks drop by 30 and 40%, you know, that means that there will not be a lot of IPOs in the future. Without IPOs, California's done.
And you don't see any on the horizon, do you?
I don't see very many tech companies that are going to be outstanding. There is a new deal coming called CrowdStrike. But of course, this is cybersecurity and a special sort of structure. But the big companies of Apple's, you know, the Facebooks, these companies to me look like they're tired. And if they get tired, one of the problems in technology is when it gets tired, it doesn't go down linearly. Yeah. It goes down exponentially.
Yeah. And that is a problem. In fact, I think if anybody who's kind of familiar with Silicon Valley, and you haven't been there in a while, which I hadn't been there in about a year, actually through the whole area, and I went through there the other day, there's a noticeable difference. I mean, it's almost palpable in the air. Actually, you can kind of see the signs and symptoms of a lot of places that will that start closing up. You know, a lot of businesses and strip malls and things like that. But these aren't strip malls; these are big buildings. I mean, you know, 300,000 square feet. Sitting empty, that's kind of the telltale sign of things really going foul in Silicon Valley, right?
Well, that's right, Paul. It's very easy to build buildings, and you know, it's always easy to lease them because you offer an initial 5-year deal that's probably 30 or 50% lower than the building they're already in. But of course, after 5 years, getting people to bump their rent double, you know, so that you can pay for that building, that doesn't work very well because another clown down the street built a new building and, you know, the customer is smart enough to move to this building and 5 years later move to the next building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, then there's always the other one, which is kind of interesting, is that Gavin Newsom is prepared to sign a new law that gives illegal immigrants health care. in California.
Well, that would be nice. You know, maybe they'll, you know, vote. And you vote for your friends, you know. Isn't that the game? I put the quarter in the slot, and I'm supposed to hear the music. And when it comes to illegal aliens, I put a lot of quarters in the slot, and I hear the music very, very loud. I mean, the number of people who are voting illegally, you know, is a very high number. Is it enough to move the needle? Maybe. But on the other hand, if you look at the latest polling, you'll find that it turns out that, you know, American citizens who have to be of Hispanic descent are getting really, really angry that some of their jobs and their kids' jobs are being taken by illegal aliens. And in fact, wages are being held down because, once again, we know that, you know, you call it undocumented worker. I call it wage breaker.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we've been experiencing this for quite some time about this very issue. There's no question about it. And you know, all of our friends, Californians, everybody, you know, it's sort of a mix of everybody, but in particular, those that have done it right, you know, and their generations of families that have done it right are really not happy about what's going on with the influx of, and of course, the incentivization, which is also another thing to incentivize. These illegal foreign nationals coming across with driver's licenses and things like that. Now, there's a pending lawsuit, apparently, or is a threat of one. Mark Meusser has put out a letter demanding that the Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, actually verified, provided by way of federal law, those that are voting that they're legal citizens. I guess there's a little hitch in the giddy-up. We're going to talk about that when we come back here. We're talking to Chris Street here on Agenda 21 Radio. So remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all
all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated, so swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
We're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. I want to make sure that we get in some good shots here because we've got one big segment going on right now about what is going on with the New California State Movement vis-a-vis what we're seeing from the state of California. And one of the things that we watch is we watch a lot of those numbers of the money that's coming into the state coffers. And I know, Chris, you watch those numbers like crazy. Have we had some reporting issues going on, though, recently? By the state?
Reporting issues?
Yeah, you know, like reporting the amount of income, the tax coming into the state coffers.
Yes, that's correct, Paul. I'm sorry that I was a little off there. I'm taking a look at this. California has this unique structure that capital gains has replaced oil, which at one time, at turn of the century, California was number one oil-producing state in the country. Kind of funny, isn't it, Paul? Up until probably the late 1990s, early 2000, it was number two. It has fallen to number five, Paul. And as it fell to number five, of course, all that money had to be replaced. And California has been able to replace it with capital gains from Silicon Valley. But the problem with capital gains is you need new IPOs. And I'm looking here at the tax collection for the month of April. And, of course, April 15th is when you have to pay your taxes, and capital gains are something that happen on an annual basis. So the tax collection jumped from $14 billion in 2018 to $19 billion in 2019. But once again, you know, that's capital gain, which hits an unusual times because if I look at the year, you know, the personal income tax collection is actually down by about $100 million for 2018-2019. But once again, you know, the state was behind big time, but the of course, the new IPO for Lyft and Uber were spectacular big numbers and helped the state's revenue. But it's not every month you're going to get that kind of transaction.
So there's a sputtering, obviously, of the income that's coming in. But we talk, you know, as we look at the California situation of, let's say, 3 and 4 and 5, 6 months from now, what's that looking like to you at this point in time?
Well, Paul, I've described this as the meteor's getting a lot more orange in the sky. So, you know, once again, California somehow makes a miraculous recovery being down $5 billion with 1 month of tremendous IPOs. You know, if that doesn't hit, my expectation was by October, November, California was in deep doo-doo. I think there's nothing about the economy itself other than these extraordinary events that are going to be, you're going to be able to rely on that every single month. And at some point, California is going to have the financial crisis. I believe it's here. It'll be worse in October, November. You know, that's when banks are all stressed because they're loaning for Christmas inventory.
Right.
And you know, that's when you normally see organizations like California sweat bullets.
Hmm. Well, and again, we anticipate that. I think you're probably calling it directly as you see it, and the right things to be saying at the right time about what's going on. I wanted to also bring up the idea of taxation, what the taxes would look like in a new California. And you mentioned oil, because it's going to be obvious that that's going to be one of our major sources of income as the state, as the government, and because we're going to make some, obviously, some landmark shifts in transitions. How we are taxed currently today in California be completely different is how it will be in New California, and that'll be a whole host of things, including things like the DMV and all the other places in which we get income. But, the reliance upon Silicon Valley, if you will, and all the IPOs and all that stuff, and the capital gains that they glean from that for income for California or for New California, we might do that. But oil will still be probably one of the number one income streams for the new state of California, New California.
Well, that's right, Paul. Unlike maybe some of the people who live in San Francisco, we are very pro our natural resources. We are very pro the benefits of the land. We are very pro agriculture. We're not interested in wilding agriculture. I mean, I love, the great outdoors, and you can go find plenty of it in California. There's no reason to take places like Fresno and somehow think you're going to wild them. There's no reason to take the Central Valley, which is an agricultural dream come true,
right,
and shrivel it by not investing money in water and other things. It's California's investment priorities that have – you haven't built an above-ground reservoir in California in 43 years. And of course, you have twice the population – in the same infrastructure. There's a lot of stress on that. We're going to put our efforts in energy, and of course, I will double California's oil production. That'll bring us about $14 billion of new taxes, because energy actually is a wonderful taxpayer. You're hearing China threaten America with, rare elements.
Rare earth elements. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
The biggest mine in the world, the one that basically supplied the world from 1940 through 2005, is called Mountain Pass.
Right.
But of course, the Chinese were able to benefit by California's, crazy environmental laws that were able to delay any kind of approvals for production of what clearly are key elements for months and years. And when you delay something, after a while, people get tired of that and they go somewhere else. And the somewhere else they went to is China, who now has a monopoly and is threatening to cut off the United States.
Well, we talked about that yesterday, and I was going to bring it up to you today about Mountain Pass and that whole area. It's out there in the, I think it's San Bernardino County. I'm pretty sure it's San Bernardino, not Riverside.
You can see it. You can see where it is if you're heading off to
Vegas.
You're taking the 10 on the way to Nevada.
Yeah. Or is it the 15 out there?
Maybe it's 15.
Yeah,
I think 15. You're right.
15. Yeah, you can see it. It's
right. 15 goes to Vegas.
And it's not the end of the earth, but you can see it from there,
yeah.
As they say. Anyway, I see this as just a non-starter because Trump knows that this mine is out there, and we could quickly convert that into something that would actually work and bring in income to California.
Well, Paul, the people who own it now, they're asking that President Trump nationalize it. It'd still be in ownership, but nationalized. He could then use the federal government to waive a lot of the permits and get up production within 180 days. You could be, and these are good jobs. Mining jobs are $38 to $45 an hour with overtime.
Right.
So you're talking about people making a buck and a quarter, buck and a half. Man, that's big money if you're living in small towns.
Well, that also brings us up to another resource that could be nationalized, and that's the Oroville Dam. I know that there has been a lot of talk about actually rebuilding the dam because there's so many inadequacies about the dam. Number one, the rocks that's been used. And, of course, we know that we've listened to a number of people, dam specialists in dams, I should say, such as Robert B. and Scott Cahill and others that we've had communications with, that one of the big problems that they had with the stones is they did not fracture the river-washed rock that they used to make the dam. And there's three grades of it. small, medium, and large. That in itself is a kind of a scary proposition, but there's so many other things that are wrong with the dam. Would there be a future for a new Oroville Dam?
Well, there's always a future for a new anything, you know. The infrastructure has to be rebuilt.
Right.
But when, you know, the Oroville Dam failed in 2017, it failed because of lack of maintenance, Paul.
Right.
And of course, it was a spectacular failure because it had been so much of California's policy was climate change meant you were going to have permanent droughts, so you wouldn't need these things anymore. I mean, talk about naive. And now, of course, you're having record snowfall, record snowpack, and, you know, the dam was 5 feet from the top.
Well, I think it's closer than that now.
Pardon?
I think it's just a couple of feet, 3 feet away.
I thought it was five. I thought it was 895 today. Maybe I'm wrong. But the interesting part is, of course, when they, you know, the rebuilding of it, the repair of it was a $260 million announcement. The California said they could, you know, repair it for $260 million. I mean, that thing is just absolutely huge. $260 million goes really, really quick. And most of the experts that, you know, heard about the spillway failure, you know, said, well, for that price, you'll never be able to put the deep cement casings and anchors that you would need for a normal spillway. They were just baffled. And yet, you know, California came out and says, no problem, we can do this. Had they agreed to spend the $400 to $500 million more, the dam would be just fine. But the cheesy $260 million repair job is now at $1.4 billion in spending. There are no, you know, casings and anchors under the dam. Stretching, you know, hundreds of feet into the dam, and so you're in a situation where many think that the facility is going to fail again. And, you know, Mother Nature, you know, this idea that, you know, that man is smarter than Mother Nature,
yeah.
You know, that there is no truth, but that which liberals say, you know, you're in El Nino, you could have summer rainfall and just have torrential snowmelt coming down, and God knows what that would do. I mean, these people are nuts.
Yeah, they've really miscalculated here. And, of course, the reconstruction is really a matter of great concern to everybody, obviously. And you know, we've been talking about it like crazy. The headworks don't work. The gates, the radial arm gates don't work. The deck itself is damaged now. They ran water over it, and it's seeping through the seams, which is not supposed to be seeping through the seams. And they haven't used it since.
You're saying it is failing the same way it failed before.
Absolutely.
Because they wouldn't spend the money on maintaining infrastructure. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely. It's the same thing.
So Band-Aids are not a form of medical intervention?
No. In fact, what we say is that they should have fixed the inside of the dam or the inside of the hill and all that stuff where we know the water's been pouring. Before they even remotely think about fixing the outside. And, of course, they fix the outside. They try to put the big Band-Aid on there, that big old deck, if you will, that big old spillway, and it's not working. It's failed, unfortunately. So they're back to square one. And, of course, they haven't used it since, I think, the 10th, maybe it's the 11th. No, it was the 10th. It was the 10th of April. They haven't used it since then, even though right now we're just really a few feet away. I do stand corrected. I think it is at 895 right now, getting up to 896. It goes about a foot a day right now, up to 899 or 900.
Well, Paul, this reminds me of when the old James Bond movies, T-minus 5 feet and counting.
Right.
That is not, you know.
Yeah.
I understand. Is it raining up there? They say it's been drizzling some. You don't know.
You're
in a situation, once again, we now have another El Nino. I mean, you could get torrential Hawaiian Pineapple Express coming over here. What's really amazing to me, Paul, is...
Hey, Chris, we got to run for time right now. Can you stay with us for a few minutes in the second hour, and we'll get you caught up on the Oroville Dam? Can you do that?
I can do that.
Awesome. Okay, stay with us. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come...
We're We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.